We have a basic word from the Lord of encouragement today, in pressing in, which is where all of our hearts are at, and so many around the world, pressing in to Jesus in the midst of all that is going on. So we're just going to take it easy and slow and have a short meditation today. It is going to be on the theme that is in Ezekiel from the points that I emailed you, but we're not going to read it. We're just going to look into the Word of God and discuss a few things. So it is going to be in Ezekiel chapter 1, and as you're turning there and taking a moment to get your Bibles, I'll just pray a little prayer here. Lord, we thank you for the living, powerful Spirit and life Word of God. Hallelujah. We thank you that it is so much more than ink on white paper, but it is fire in our bones, Lord. Fire in our bones. It is breath in our lungs. It is water that you turn into wine that fills us like rivers of life-giving waters. Lord, thank you that your word gives life. Lord, thank you that your word breaks the cedars and it brings forth, it moves mountains, it changes landscapes inside of the human heart. Lord, thank you for speaking to us through the word by your Spirit. We look to you now. We look to your Spirit, your Holy Spirit. And we come up under the authority of the word you've spoken and given to help us know you and be filled with that fire. Be written upon by your Spirit and be changed into your image, more of Jesus, less of us. Amen. Okay. The title of today's meditation is Fall Down, Stand Up, Open Up, Fill Up, and Fly. In that order. Fall down, stand up, open up, fill up, and fly. It sounds like a children's church dance. Maybe it can be. Hallelujah. It might be a good children's church lesson. But here we are. Let's start in chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1, and let's look at the very last verse in that chapter, the end of verse 28, but we're going to read the full verse. As the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. The likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face and I heard a voice of one that spake. That's the first thing that happened to Ezekiel when he saw the glory of the Lord in the vision that God gave him of himself at the river Chebar, which is all of chapter 1 of Ezekiel. So he's on his face. He has experienced the glory, the real, living, not a teaching, not just a move in a church service. He has experienced the living God. And he fell on his face. It's real. He experienced it in the middle of a very terrible crisis, because we all know that Ezekiel is with the captives that are in exile in Babylon. And there's a lot happening to these people. A lot of them have been torn away from their families, taken out of their homeland. All kinds of crazy things are happening back home in Jerusalem and Judah. Terrible things. Their nation is under siege and is being burnt down. All kind of crises. And in the midst of that fiery trial time period for the people of God, Ezekiel sees the glory of the Lord and falls on his face. in the middle of all of that. And he's laying there on his face. He's lying on his face. I don't know if any of us have ever experienced something like this, where the presence of the Lord or the reality of the Lord so deeply affected us that we were just on our face, just down for the count. And as you're laying there face down, because of the Lord himself, hallelujah, you hear a voice. What does the voice say? Don't read the next verse or you'll know. Just wait a second before you read it. Does the voice say, let us linger in this moment and just keep basking in this experience of knowing the presence of the Lord or seeing the glory of God or the impression of me being so real? Just fall down and stay down and never get up again. Just worship on your face forever. Is that what the voice of the Lord said to Ezekiel as he was laying on his face? I know these seem really basic, but I feel like there may be some things we can glean from it. No, that's not what the voice of the Lord said to him. Chapter 2, the next verse, verse 1 says, and he said unto me, son of man, that's Ezekiel, stand upon your feet. Stand upon your feet, and then I will speak unto you. Well, you know, when you've really been leveled by the Lord, and you know, we just discussed how that could be because you're in awe and so overcome with his person and his glory that you fall down. But there can also be that of just the Lord is so vast and so powerful that you're on your face, and it's maybe not such a positive thing. You're just down. You're under the mighty hand of God in his dealings, and you can't get up. It may be because you're overcome with his glory, or you're just pressed down with his dealing. But either direction, the living God is there. He is moving and he is real, and you know it, and you're down because of it. You are down. And he says, get up, stand up on your feet, and then I will speak to you. Stand up on your feet. And he said, this next verse says, and the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me on my feet so I could hear what he said to me. I think that's really important, that Ezekiel wasn't just able to get up and stand on his feet when the Spirit of the Lord spoke to him to stand on his feet. I know that may sound like a riddle, but the one who said stand up filled him with his Spirit. His Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me. How powerful is that, that the one who said stand up, even as he said stand up, was entering into him and filling him by his Spirit so he could stand. This is the relationship that Ezekiel had with the Word of God and the living Word of God. It wasn't just a commandment, fall down, stand up. It was a oneness. It was the entrance of thy word bringeth light. And the entrance of the word released in spirit and life filled him up so that he could stand. In that time period where the world was a moving and a churning, where Ezekiel went into captivity with the people of Judah, the second deportation, when he was in that trial and all these things were happening, the word of the Lord and the glory of God and the reality of the true King and the true ruler of all things was so real that when he heard his word, it brought him down. And when he heard his word, it filled him up and it quickened him. And that it was a relationship that he had with the Lord, not because he was special, but because that's the way the Lord was moving, wanting to relate with his own people. The Spirit entered into me when he spoke to me, and he set me on my feet, and I heard him. He was able to hear him in a way that he couldn't before on his face. There is a standing up on the inside by the quickening of the Spirit that said, Lord, I'm down there with you, overcome, but I am now, I'm alert, and I'm filled, and I'm partaking of you. I'm ready to walk. I'm ready to be with you in this. Not just be floored by it. Not just be undone by it. Not just be so deeply affected by it that I can't move. I need to go past that point into being quickened by it and straightened by it and lifted up out of myself by it and set on my feet by it and filled up by the Spirit of that word by it and ready to hear the depths of what you're saying, not just on my face, but on my feet, not on my feet by my own strength, but by your Spirit quickening me. So he continues standing up to hear what the Spirit is saying at that time. And that continues on, but that's not the focus, what he's speaking at that moment, but the next command or the next movement of oneness in relationship to the living God that Ezekiel experienced, and that's in verse 8. Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 8 says, but thou, son of man, hear what I say to you. Again, he's saying, I want you to hear every step of this progression is qualified by hear what I'm saying. Hearing, truly hearing, evokes a response, a movement, a reciprocating action in Ezekiel. And here's the next one in verse 8 of chapter 2. But thou, son of man, hear what I say. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear what I say. Don't be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. Eat what I give you. Open your mouth and eat. This guy has already seen an open heaven. He's already fallen on his face and been undone by it and worshiped. He's already been quickened by the Spirit and filled so that he's upright and standing, ready to walk. That wasn't enough. It still wasn't enough. He had to eat the word. And in verse 10, it says, he spread his word before me. And in it was written, within and without, lamentations and mourning and woe. Oh my gosh, there's so much. There's so much there. There's a fellowship in his sufferings that Ezekiel entered into when he didn't get passive or satisfied with being deeply touched by the power of the living God and the presence and the view of God. But when he got up in his heart, he stood up, filled up by the Spirit, joined in oneness with God's onward movement, and waited for the next heartbeat of the Lord. And he said, open your mouth. And he opened his mouth, and what came into him was a fellowship in the sufferings of the Lord, lamentations. Whoa, he partook of that. He didn't read a book. He opened his mouth and took inside of himself the burden of the heart of God. He ate lamb, crucified, reproached, scorned, ridiculed, rejected lamb, forsaken lamb. Sorrowful lamb because of one bearing all of these things in love for others. He took it in. He went deeper than being affected and falling down. He went deeper than I'm with you and standing up. He went deeper than I'll be filled with the Spirit and I've got something carrying me. He opened up not just his mouth, but his heart. And he took in the sufferings and the pain of Jesus. He fellowshipped. He partook of the burdens of the Lord's heart. That's deeper. That's deeper. And in verse 3 of chapter 3, it continues and it says, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat and fill your bowels. Fill your bowels with this roll of lamentations, mourning, and woe. Let the spirit of my crucified son in his heart, in his sufferings, in his nature, in his burdens, go all the way into your bowels, your inward parts. Be moved so deep inside. Your bowels, your inwards are overcome and possessed by the spirit and heart of what's in this book, which is a person, his heart. He took it in. Take it in. Take it in. Open up. He did that. He continued. And I guess that's the word. Every step of the way, he could have stopped and felt so satisfied and so spiritual. I am so spiritual. I'm on my face in worship, bowed low before the Lord. What more could there be? I've stood up and I'm filled up and I'm with him. What more could there be? I've eaten the word. I've partaken and fellowshipped. What more could there be? But there is. There's more when you're in living union with a living God who is a consuming fire, ever giving himself perpetually. It doesn't just stop and stagnate it at a great spot, but it continues. It continues. And that's where we go on to chapter 3, verse 12. Let's look at verse 12. Yeah, verse 12. Then the Spirit took me up. And again, it's a Spirit. The Spirit keeps everything that happens, every step forward, every next step, God initiates. And the Spirit of God fills. I mean, Ezekiel doesn't do any of it. He's just yielding and willing and with and yes and amen. And I'm on. Let's do it. I'm open. Yes, but God initiates and God fills each step. And so here it is again. The Spirit took me up and I heard behind me a voice of great rushing. Oh my gosh. Oh, saying, blessed be the glory of the Lord from his place. And I heard the noise of the wings of the living creatures, whoo, that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels. Lord have mercy. This guy, he has been lifted up out of himself, out of the trials, out of the things of this earth and the world and its kingdoms. And if you know the vision that Ezekiel saw of God in chapter 1 of Ezekiel, you know there was the living creatures and the chariot throne and the man on fire, the enthroned Son of Man, which was on fire, and his ministers aflame carrying him in oneness above the earth. As one spirit, an incredible union. It's just a beautiful, oh my Lord, oh, picture of Christ enthroned in his body, the risen body. And but here now, Ezekiel is becoming so attuned, not just to the voice of God and the instructions of God and the Spirit of God, but now he's literally up in the realm of his throne with those living creatures. Hearing their wings movements, hearing the wheels. Oh, he hears the noise of the wings and the wheels. Those are up there in the throne. Those are the noise. That is the noise of those who are carrying the altar of the Lamb above the earth, moving in oneness. You know, it just, what can we say? Every yes takes us deeper into Jesus, into the Lamb, into eternal oneness with the enthroned, slaughtered Lamb. Every yes brings us more into union with His enthroned fullness, and it takes us out of ourselves and into Him. I mean, He said, this is a picture of a human being setting his affections on things above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. He is doing it in a way that is way beyond knowledge, way beyond obedience to commands. He's being swallowed up of life. And yeah, in the beginning, he just heard a voice saying, get up. And then he heard the Spirit filling him up. And then he opened his mouth and heard and felt and partook of the sufferings of Christ. And then he got into the realm where it was just him eternally being the Lamb upon the throne, the slain one. This is now Book of Revelation, chapter 5 stuff. You know, every yes, every openness, every amen from the heart, the Spirit ushers us closer and closer and closer and closer. And we hear His voice with more and more and more clarity until we literally hear the wings and wheels of that which is filled with eyes that see only Him. We're part of that. We're part of that. And of course, this is all happening just in chapters 2 and 3. But the Lord didn't entrust the ministry, the message to Ezekiel as a watchman and a prophet and a priest until he had him draw very close to his heart. And he also put him through many more things to prepare him as a vessel that would bear the scars and the wounds and the reproaches and the sufferings and the dying of the Lord Jesus, not just the message. God fathered this man into the image of His Son, that Christ could be His ministry. And that's the same Father, the same Spirit that's moving in our Babylon, in our fiery trial, in our step-by-step drawing closer to knowing Him. In every yes, every amen, every I will, Lord, will be met by the Spirit breathing, drawing, releasing more and more of who He is into us. And it will be like a wedding feast. It will be more and more beautiful each day. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, shining brighter and brighter until the noonday. We see this in Ezekiel, but more importantly, we see this in us. May it be so in our story, in our daily walk. And may every step be part of that progression of drawing closer, going deeper, not in knowledge or ministry or being more spiritual, but into Him whom we love. So there'll be less of us because He's just so, so, so much more, so more preeminent than everything. Oh, Lord, we thank You for the Word. We thank You for Your faithfulness. We thank You for Your covering and Your guidance and Your drawing, Your filling, Your sharing, Your glory. Lord, we ask that You would help us to see these things in our lives, our daily lives. Lord, Ezekiel was a shadow, but here we are. Your Lamb is in us. The glory dwells within us. Christ in You, Christ in us is the glory. And Father, You are fathering us. And may we continue to respond from our hearts. May we continue to trust in Your Spirit. And may we continue to know You more face to face, heart to heart. Glory to glory, Father, by the Spirit of God. when we just pray these things. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.